The Money Show.
The Markets.
Rudy von Amado is a portfolio manager at AdviceWorks, and lots of news on the day today. I mean, Rudy, just a quick overview of a big sell-off on markets that was sparked by fears of inflation in the US last night, and we got nailed.
We absolutely did, Bruce. Right across the board, all the sectors under a lot of pressure. Offshore index was down about 1.7%. Commodities also sold off quite sharply. They're down over 2%. Financials under pressure. Industrials, the whole lot. So yes, I think there have been concerns globally for some time about markets being stretched, and at the moment, as you mentioned, you know, inflation numbers in the US came out well ahead of expectations yesterday, and they're concerned about interest rates rising. It does seem like this pressure is abating a little bit at the moment. We did have quite good jobless numbers in the US today. Jobless numbers were significantly lower than had been anticipated, and so US markets at the moment are actually rallying. The Dow's up 1.3%, the Nasdaq's up close to 1%, so it looks like we're seeing some respite. But we certainly had a horrible day of it in South Africa today.
Yeah, it was horrible. But it was interesting to see the number of winners on the day. There were quite a few positive trading updates. Among them, Tiger Brands saying its profits are going to be up about 55%, which is better than the market expected. Also, we saw Absa saying it's going to see a tenfold jump in half-year profits, which is also good. That share price didn't respond, though. Just some really nice updates coming through from a couple of nice companies.
Yeah, I think just like inflation numbers are coming off a low base, so one should expect them to be increasing quite sharply. You know, a lot of the earnings that we're seeing are coming off very low bases as well. Tiger Brands coming off a very low base, and Absa for that matter as well. You know, there were massive write-downs last year. So the actual operating earnings, if one excludes, although they are improving, you know, I don't want to lessen what they're saying, the credit default experience is improving, and they're finding some demand for loans, which is very positive. But without the provisions being reversed, you'll probably find that it's low single-digit growth in earnings in Absa. But then I think we're going to see a chunk of provisions reversed. I think the market also can take heart from the fact that they're talking about restarting dividends as well, which is very positive. So all in all, it is good news, there's no doubt.
Okay, well, that was nice. And Tiger Brands, seeing a nice recovery. They're busy rebuilding teams there, and they're hiring all sorts of interesting people at the moment. And it really looks like a very significant effort to restore the fortunes of Tiger Brands.
It is, and I think they're certainly getting some early success. They're talking about normalized earnings being up in the region of 18%. So they are gaining traction, and I think operationally are taking the right sort of action to get that business back on track. I do think that the food producing space, so guys like Tiger Brands and AVI and the like, are going to find it a lot tougher if we do see an acceleration of inflation to actually pass that on. You know, they tend to be price takers on both sides, because they buy raw materials from large producers, and very often those raw material prices are determined independently of them, and they then tend to sell on to very large buyers on the other side. So they're not necessarily selling to an individual, but rather to the buyers of ShopRite and Spar and Massmart and the like, who tend to squeeze them. So in inflationary times, you actually find that food producers tend to struggle to grow their earnings, and one tends to find that you're a lot better off in the cash food retailers, for example. The ShopRites and Spars and Pick and Pays and the like tend to do far better in an inflationary environment.
I wonder about fast food as well, because I look at famous brands and they're going to report massive losses. I mean, this is as a result, I think, of Gourmet Burger Kitchen, the burger joint in the United Kingdom that they bought and felt very smug about getting the timing of the currency absolutely right. And they then still talk about their headline earnings per share from continuing operations. I'm assuming this means without Gourmet Burger Kitchen is actually positive. Look, it's 97% down on where it was. But once they get Gourmet Burger Kitchen out of the way, I wonder if Famous Brands is worth a flutter.
Yeah, Bruce, it's nice to see that they, you know, at least going to get some positive traction. And they were very unfortunate with their timing of that acquisition, and you know, they've been really right in the teeth of all the lockdowns. It's been a horrible space to be in. But hopefully, you know, this is also indication that they're talking about 96% down in earnings. That they are, you know, have thrown the kitchen sink at this set of results, and this will be the bottom of that cycle, and then we can see a more healthy, positive trajectory from here. Certainly, it is a well run business, and they have got some really good products. So hopefully, this is, you know, the start of the recovery for them, and I think there is potential for that stock to do well over time.
Brian Joffe, you made his fortune on the JSE. Looks like he's considering taking his latest venture, Long for Life, off the JSE. We're chatting to him in 10 minutes' time. What's your assessment of Long for Life? It's got Fitch and Leeds and a Sportsman's Warehouse and Sorbet in there.
It's got some really good assets, Bruce, and I think they're very cash generative. You know, Brian Joffe is a master at buying and running businesses very, very effectively. So, and it's trading at a massive discount to NAV, about a 35% discount. This, unfortunately, is the disease that one gets in holding companies. You know, they do tend to trade big discounts. We've all have seen what's happening with Naspers as well. So he might very well be better off taking this business private. I don't know that the underlying businesses are big enough to list on their own, and I'm sure they'll consider that as an alternative. But I wouldn't be surprised if they end up taking this private in time.
Rudy van der Merwe, Portfolio Manager at AdviceWorks.